The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 348. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vail.
What up?
And Brian Manjoma.
What a week, what a week.
It's been crazy, man. So, we want to spring a surprise on all our listeners right now.
This is the last show.
Yeah, no, it's not the last show, right? Oh, you've ruined a surprise. No, no video game news tonight. We're just going to talk about OnlyFans for the next 2 hours. Right, Carlos, you kind of ruined my joke before this show started. Like, God damn it, that's what I was
going to say. Oh, really? I didn't know. Well, I have a joke, but it's not suitable for
You better chill, maybe. You know. But I'm not
remind me of the book,
yeah, obviously we're not going to get into it because that's not our field of expertise, but I'm going to say, to me, like, banning sex from OnlyFans is like banning gaming from Twitch. Like, that's what people go there for.
Wait. So I thought that you couldn't have sex on that OnlyFans.
No, I mean,
it's showing nudity.
Yeah, yeah, but they're apparently going to ban that stuff.
Why?
Yeah, like,
there you go. I mean, was there
apparently somebody complained? I'll send a link to you guys, but apparently all that shit was illegal. They just let the people just get away with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to go more legitimate, so now they're trying to back away from that stuff. But just,
it sounds like the Tumblr thing.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it is.
The Tumblr thing, where essentially they were just leaving the door open and just leaving it to everybody's discretion as to what they would be searching through there. And as soon as they wanted to go public, and then they realized, oh shit, we got a lot of skeletons in our closet. Mm-hmm. All right, throw it all out.
Yeah, no, a lot of people have been saying that. This is basically the Tumblr situation, you know. So
is Tumblr still around?
Yeah, they're still around.
I see the button.
Yeah, they're still around.
It's still around, but it's not what it used to be. Again, they weren't really policing anything on there, so there was just a lot of shit that was on there.
Yeah. So that's what apparently has been going on with OnlyFans. They just let people do stuff, you know, and then apparently they were supposed to issue like 3 warnings to people who are like in violation, but the people who had like the biggest amount of viewers or whatever, they fell under a separate thing. You know, it was just convoluted, you know.
Yeah, but because you know what it is. It's because
money.
They're making the money, so they got a little special thing. Like,
exactly.
Oh, you know, maybe you want to calm that down, but keep making us some money.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. What were they? What caused something? Must have caused. What happened?
They're trying to go public. They're trying to go public, so they're trying to clean up.
Oh, now it did. So there was no incident.
Well, no. Yeah. There was no incident. It's just like, you know, they know they're going to go public, so like, let's just clean this shit up now.
Yeah, you know, you got to clean it up because you don't know if you have any like sexual assault or any type of those videos on there, right? They don't know, but those fall under that's illegal, so they have to just blow it away now. Right.
You remember when YouTube was independently owned before it got sold to Google? It was like that. It was like you find all kinds of shit that you would usually see on Break.com and shit. It was some fucked up stuff.
Yeah. Ogre-ish and all that stuff.
Yeah. People will do wild shit, man, if they're not regulated. Remember when PS4 first came out with the camera? Motherfuckers were making pornos on there.
Live streams.
That's right.
Live streams.
Yep. They were live streaming porn. It was crazy, you know?
It's like me and my wife.
Me and my wife.
Let's see if this camera works. Shit, I still, well, not now, but I remember playing on on the 360.
Whoa.
With the camera, when we first got the camera, I'm like, oh, this is cool. And I have a headset, I'm talking to people playing games. Out of all games, I'm fucking playing Uno. I remember it was Saturday night, I'm playing Uno, and it's 4 people. So I'm playing, and one guy's like, he's like, we're all adults here, right? And it's like, Yeah, I guess so. Playing, and then all of a sudden, because he had his camera, he turns it around and he put it to the computer monitor. It was just porn. I figured we'd be a little entertained. I was like, oh my God. It didn't seem right. It's like we're four dudes playing Uno.
Yeah.
And we've got this one guy live streaming some fucking porn that he's watching. And I was like, it was very awkward.
We're all adults here. You know, yeah. Some bad's gonna happen.
I thought it was gonna be like he showed his wiener or something.
No. Yeah, but it was.
Hey, you know, we're all adults here, right?
But that's then also think about it. It's like, I don't think ever in my life I ever called some buddies over and said, "Yo, you want to have some beers and just watch some porn together?"
Yeah,
I was like, no.
Yeah, to chill. It's fucking. That's ugh. Anyway, man, let's get into some gaming news, man. Crazy, man. Right, first up, Adam, man. Call of Duty. Call of Duty Vanguard returning to World War II.
World War II. We have run out of wars.
We've run out, man. We don't want to do Vietnam. You don't want to.
They tried it. They tried the Vietnam. It was so-so.
Yeah, I mean, they can't do a 30-year war on terror. Yeah. Just, the war is never going to end.
Yeah, it's never gonna end.
Yeah.
We tried the space war. That was whack. It's going to work. I'm into it. The best out of all the Call of Duties within the franchise, my top two, World War II is one of them, and then of course the Call of Duty 2 that was there. But World War II was awesome. I loved it. They did a great job with that. So I'm okay with them going back to it, just telling a different story within that time period. That's fine. Right now, that Vanguard thing, that's the big confusion that I saw online. A lot of people are like, oh, I'm playing it. How are you playing it? What are you going? Because some people that are just casual, they don't really follow it. They know it's coming, but they didn't understand that there's also this thing with this train and that everybody gets to flood in and attack it, like Ready Player One type of situation. We're all working together, and I'm looking forward, hopefully, later tonight. I know there's different windows, and when you can jump in, they were like, oh, you got to sit in the queue for a while. Don't log out, and then you can get in the next batch. So it sounds fun. So I'm excited. To play. Because if you play Warzone, there's a train that goes around. And it's always going around. You can attack and do whatever. It doesn't stop. But today, it was crashed underneath a building in a tunnel. I was like, oh, shit. Okay, so something's going to happen. But then we already knew 2 weeks ago, they sent out some promotional material just saying this date, get ready for the 19th. Something's going to happen. Vanguard. And I was like, oh, we're going to find out about the pre-orders and stuff. But that's also dealing with this whole connection with this train and stuff. So I'm excited. I mean, they did one shady shit, and that's something they always do, and we saw a lot of this going around with the Battlefield, which they didn't do, but a lot of people thought they did, is that they're tying the beta to it. So if you want to play the beta, you have to pre-order the game. And that sort of defeats the point. A lot of people are like, well, shouldn't I? It's a beta. We want to test it out, help you. We're helping you by doing this. We're putting the strain on the servers and all stuff. But no, they want money up front to play that shit. And so that sucks, because that's not what happened with Battlefield. A lot of people thought, oh, you know, EA's doing that with Battlefield. No. They were picking people, select groups, and then you would get a window, and then you can get in. Of course, this window, at least for the consoles, and didn't happen because of whatever technical issues. But at least it was free. I hate that they do this where it's like, oh, if you want to play this beta, you got to pre-order the game. It sucks, especially when you think of, like, PlayStation, for example. They don't, if you pre-order and you play the beta and let's say, this game fucking garbage, I don't want this, you can't. They won't give you a refund. You pre-ordered. You're done. You're locked in. You're going to have to call them and bitch.
Yeah.
By the way, real quick, shout out to PigDan20 for giving us some bits. Appreciate that. And also, shout out to Keyshack for subscribing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's Call of Duty. They showed us some of the campaign, and we got some information regarding the multiplayer. There's going to be like 20 maps available at launch, which is awesome. That's a huge amount of maps to play. And it's just the big question, and with all of this, is we know Warzone is still going to be a thing, but is that going to be separate? Because there's been a lot of scuttlebutt and a lot of rumors going around that Warzone is going to be its own thing, and it's going to be free. Because they're making all their money from the battle passes and stuff. Yo, what's up?
Is it true that all of... Because I've been out of the loop in Call of Duty for a while. I heard that all of the developers, like all the Activision devs that work on Call of Duty, worked on this one.
They all worked on this one. Yeah, and that came from the email. in the email, they showed everybody was linked on this. So it's like an all hands on deck.
So is Sledgehammer like the main one?
Yeah, it's their. This is their one because okay. They have their cycles. You know, you have Raven and you have all, you know, and Infinity Ward, and that's why how we get the cycles. So every time there's another one, it's from another group. But this one was all hands on deck. Mm. So yeah, all the studios were involved, which is huge. Because it was like, all right, well, this is going to bring the best then, right? If you're getting everybody together, you're forming Voltron, right? This better be badass, and there's got to be more to it than just, oh, another World War II. Because that's what everyone
was I was going to ask you, like, what makes this different than the other World War II games? Exactly,
well, that's a big concern that everybody was having when we first heard about it. Because, like, oh, they're just going to reuse textures, just like we get all the remaps, and they keep recycling. That's why they're going back. This is going to be one of those brush off years. They couldn't think of anything creative, so they just go back to World War II. But when you see all these teams that are working on, it's like, no, I think there's a lot more under the hood that we don't know. We're gonna find out.
Yeah.
And also, and a large majority has to do probably with Warzone, because that is their big moneymaker right there.
Yeah.
A lot of people jump in there. You got the season 5, I think, was it, that just launched, and it's got a bunch of goodies, and you know, you can buy into it or just, you know, farm for all the stuff. That's the incentive. That's why people like to do it. Like, yeah, I could buy, but I could farm. You just got to dedicate the time. But it's working for them. Obviously, a large majority of people are just paying, or else they wouldn't be doing it. So it's working in their favor. So the big question now is, with all these teams working on it, are they all just working on the new title itself, or are they all working on that and the new version of Warzone and how that's going to work out? If it's going to be together, if it's going to be a standalone, I don't know. But it's definitely interesting, and it looks fine. I'm excited, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that...
Yeah, we just real quick shout out to Flint's for subscribing. Appreciate that.
There you go. Yeah, thanks. See, that means people like Call of Duty.
Call of Duty. Yo, by the way, this is why I remember I said this a while ago. I'm like, this is one of the reasons I love having like Adamar, because Call of Duty would always happen, and then I'll throw it on. We'd have to talk about it because of Call of Duty, but none of us care about it. Adam's here. He loves Call of Duty, so it's perfect.
I love it. It's fun. I like the stories, the campaigns. Yeah. They're very immersive. They pull you in.
Apparently, you know, this one's going to be like really like in depth, like the story.
If only he came with a bodysuit, and I would be like, 100%.
With senses. You know,
and then just like when we're parachuting down, they show that one scene when the guy's parachuting and his bodies and everybody's flying. Just feel like little vibrations. That'd be dope.
Uh-oh, Marky Mark, man.
There we go.
Like, vibrations. I remember it was like a few years ago. I think Adam called me or texted me. He's like, "Yo, man, this has been bothering me forever, man. I can't fucking beat this level." You know the level I'm talking about?
Which one?
The one with the turrets and the planes?
Oh yes, that was actually World War II. That was World War II. So you know, it didn't seem like it was a difficult part. I was like, "All right, hey, get on the ATF, the anti-aircraft machine gun, right? Get on it and just shoot all the planes that are flying over. No problem." For some reason, I was always missing one. It was like mission fail. So then they come at different speeds. That's pretty much what it is. It's like a weird Duck Hunt type situation.
It was literally a Duck Hunt.
Wow.
No, but you know, it's like the planes will come slow and then they'll pop up fast and some of them will just jet across. Sometimes there'll be one and there'll be two and there'll be two on one side and another two on the other. You know what I mean? That type of shit. And you're just like aiming at the sky. And I just kept fucking up. It just pissed me off. I don't know. It took like 2 or 3 days. I was stuck on this shit. And then eventually I passed it. But I'm like, damn, it should not have been that hard. I flew through the rest of that game. But that one part that you're talking about, that was like in Mission 2. You know, wow. That really set me back and it pissed me off. But I think I know what happened is that it was a cloudy sky. And because it was so bright and the little planes were just up there, I couldn't really tell. I guess I was having issues. My vision sucks as it is. And I was always having issues missing one or two at a time. So, eventually it passed. I finished that one. I finished all the Call of Duties. I love all the campaigns. I play them. I know a lot of people don't play the campaigns. They just jump into multiplayer. But I don't see the point in doing that because multiplayer is the same pretty much in all of them. yes, the maps are different, but you still got kill confirmed and, you know, seek and destroy and all those. The modes are all the same. But the campaign, mm-hmm. Throws all the different variables at you. Like the latest one, Cold War, had multiple endings. I didn't even get all the good endings. I got some fucked up endings. Oh, bad shit happened in my endings. You know, but that was a cool take on it. You had different dialogue choices, and it was cool. And it's a story. You feel like you're a spy. You're in the military or whatever. It would always throw you in different scenes. So it's fun. And so, yeah, it's not that long, 16 hours. But who wants to spend 20, 30 hours just being a super soldier? You know, it's like, oh, fuck, man. It's taking forever. So I look forward to that. And I'm glad that this is coming back and then we have another campaign. I don't think we'll ever get another Call of Duty without one. After what happened during that last the Black Ops that didn't have a campaign, and we know they may try to butter it up, making it seem like, oh, this was the strategy. We're gonna have zombie multiplayer and wars. No. They had issues in development with the campaign. There was things and it wasn't coming together well. So they're like, we have to scrap it. So they just cut it. But they've never done that again. Yeah,
I think this iteration of Call of Duty is gonna last more than a year. I mean, they can't.
Well, it's the Warzone. Like, that's there you go. That was one of the things that everyone kept saying with all hands on deck. If you got all these studios working on something, you're working on something big. So this has to be what the plan is, and that's what we were all thinking is. And that they have sort of hinted that they're going to make a Warzone that is going to be free to play. It's always going to be going. It's going to constantly be growing in size, because that's the thing with this one. This one has added all different maps, all different locations. I mean, you parachute one area, you're now in a Cold War. You parachute another one, you're in Modern Warfare. I mean, it's massive. So they're going to keep building on it, and it's just going to be its own thing. So that's what we're thinking now. Is it going to be attached to the game? If you played it, who else here plays Call of Duty or played any of the recent ones? The only reason why I ask is because, you know, when you
go into played Modern Warfare, the recent one, I reviewed that.
All right, so then yeah. you know, didn't even worry about if you played it, but you remember when you go into the menu, you see the blades.
Yeah.
A section. You got the multiplayer and you got Warzone. Yeah. It's there. You know. So the same thing happened in Cold War, but when you clicked on it, it opened up the same one that you had before.
Interesting.
You know, it wasn't a separate one. It was still there. It was just more like they created a link.
Yeah.
You know, to have it in there. So is that going to be in all of them? Probably. But the plan that I think they have, and everyone kept saying, it's like, it's going to be a big project. And then for them to release this email showing all the teams are working on, it's like, yeah, this has to be it. This is it. All hands on deck. Make this massive world. They've all worked on different parts of it, so it only makes sense that they all work together when it comes to combining it. And it's like, here we go. Open it to world. Now, is it going to be free to play? A lot of people think that's the whole point of this. You know, we see other services that have come out and done very well in that model, and they're making a ton of money. So we'll see. We'll see, but I have a feeling that's what we're going to get, and that'll be the big deciding factor for people that jump on this opposed to the Battlefield. You know, a little spoiler, our boy, the editor-in-chief over at the Coalition, Richard Billy Jr., he got to play, and he called it whack. The Battlefield. Oh, no. He was like, he called it, quote, overhyped. Overhyped, same
damn,
shit.
Damn, that's controversial.
Yeah, that's
controversial indeed.
He always says he got some controversial stuff. Well, there you go. He got that, so... And so I was like, all right. I mean, I had my time slot for Saturday on the PS5, and then that shit was canceled. They sent me the message. I sent you guys in a text. They were like, oh, sorry. We had technical issues, so you can't even jump in this shit.
Yeah.
So
he played on Xbox, right, Rich?
Yeah.
Because the Xbox and PC were still able to play it. I know Danny, you know, Gamertag Radio, he played it. He liked it. He thought it was good. But anyway, yeah, so Call of Duty. So November 5th, this game's coming out on November all platforms. 5th. The Switch, obviously, but it's coming out. It's a cross-gen game. Yeah. I'm assuming it's going to have cross-play, too, right?
Same thing, cross-play. And, pre-order it on the 5th, and they got multiple tiers, just like usual. And, hey, if you're like, I don't know if the Steam, if the PC version deals with the beta, meaning... We just discussed on the PlayStation, if you pre-order it, you're stuck, right? That's how it works. They don't give you a refund. But I don't know if Steam or Microsoft is like that. So if you want
Steam to get does more, after a few hours, I believe.
It's a few hours, but I mean for the beta.
Oh, I don't
know. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. Like, let's say if I pre-order, right? If you pre-order it, just one of the perks is you get into the beta. Can you play the beta and then still cancel if you don't like the game?
Oh, I have no idea.
Because you're technically not playing the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not the game. It's the beta. if that's the case, or the same on the Xbox. But if you're interested, look into those two. And if you have those platforms, you have a PC or an Xbox, and it might be worth jumping in just to try it out to see if it's any good. It's pretty much just going to be the multiplayer stuff.
Yeah.
But, all right. Good stuff, I'm excited. They come with some. The only issue that a lot of people have, and myself included with this, is just that with World War II, I love the time period, I love history and all that, but the weapons are limited. You know, there's only so many type of weapons they had back in the 40s, and that was the issue even with the multiplayer. So I don't know how they're going to try to spice it up unless they try to say, oh, we found this chest of experimental weapons, you know, automatic AK or whatever it is. Yeah, who knows? But either way, they do very well, and sales-wise, there's a lot of people that are interested in that time period, or else they wouldn't go back. That's the other thing a lot of people need to consider. It's like World War II, that one was one of the biggest sellers. People just like history. They like to know that it's not all BS, run and gun. They like to know, wow, that was a real location. Maybe the story's not real, but that's a real town in France. I was playing. They did a great job of making it look like I was there, just like with the Normandy and all that when they did with the World War II. People jump into it, so.
Yeah. There you go, man. What's the other thing? Did you like World at War? The one that came out after Modern Warfare?
Yeah, the World
that was pretty good.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That's the one that they jumped off all over different locations and went over it in Washington.
Yep. Yeah. That's the one with Kiefer Sutherland, right? Like, I think he was in that.
That's the one that was like really cold and like you can kill people from the back, I remember, like do those stealth kills.
The Modern Warfare introduced those cool stealth kills. So I don't know if it was before or after that one, but because Modern Warfare was the one that was doing with remember where you can kill everybody in
That's Modern Warfare.
Airport. Yeah, it was Modern Warfare, and you can skip it. And that was like the first real, like, whoa, what's going on with Call of Duty? You're getting edgy now. This is crazy. So, but that World at War was fun. I don't know if they're going to go back to that, but it's funny that you bring that up. That's right, because for the multiplayer, the maps, the 20 maps, they said are going to be all over the place, not just in one location. So, yeah, you could have that type of situation, but in multiplayer. You could probably be cool. playing in a Moscow like you have, or you could be playing in another part of the U.S., or maybe you can go to Vietnam if they decide to go that, because that was interesting when they did do that, and you were going through the tunnels, and you had your flamethrower, and you were burning people out.
Oh, shit. Yeah, man, I wonder if they're really going to do Korean War, you know? Because they would have more advanced weapons, but not crazy advanced, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's before Vietnam, you know? Because I don't think a lot of people want to play Vietnam for obvious reasons, you know?
Yeah. No. Yeah. There was a third-party game. It was they say third-party, but there was just another FPS developer that was trying to go into this world, of trying to make it like Call of Duty, but they were doing with the Civil War. And I always remember playing because I was like, I got to play this. I got to play. You know how long it took to load a musket? That was a pain in the ass. It was like, it sucked to the point that I was like, you know what? I can't use a musket. I took out my knife, you know, and I would just run around and start stabbing everybody. I was like, there's just too many heads, because it was sort of like a Call of Duty, the whole thing. They were all rushing you and they were trying to do the lineups, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, all right, this is trying to stick to that old combat style that the British had then. I was like, I can't do it. I had no patience for it. So they can't go that far back. And there was a talk years ago that they were going to do like a knight's version, a medieval, and they were showing the shield and the sword and all that stuff. But that never really materialized.
Yeah, like the furthest they could go back, it seems like it's World War One. That's about as far back as you can go. But even those weapons are, pretty archaic.
I don't even really think they did anything in that time period. It was Battlefield that did.
Yeah, Call of Duty didn't, but like I'm just talking about in general video games.
Battlefield 1 did with the mustard gas and poison and stuff. That was pretty dark.
Yeah, they did that. You know, so yeah. So this year, Call of Duty and Battlefield are going to go at it. So
already, if you think about if somebody was to look at quality, it's just quality, meaning like, all right, how much do I get? Or let's just say quantity, not quality. Quantity of gameplay. You're getting a campaign in the Call of Duty.
That's right.
There's no campaign in the Battlefield. So if you're not interested in all of that, and you're cool with just going down that road, because I think they're still going to be the same price, right? They're both going to be $70.
Are they going to be $70?
I don't think Battlefield. I know Call of Duty starts at $70, but I don't know if the Battlefield...
Without a campaign, I don't think it should cost that much, that's what I think.
But remember that when Call of Duty did their version without it, it was still $60.
Yeah.
Isn't it ironic that Battlefield doesn't have a campaign, but Call of Duty now has it?
Yeah, oh, right? Yeah. See, it's back and forth.
Crazy. All right, I'll move on. And before we do that, I want to issue an apology to Manny.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Manny, I'm sorry. Right? We got to do it. We got to cover. You got to cover this fucking story.
Oh, it's another abandoned one?
Uh-huh. It never ends. So, so we got to do it.
Here we go.
Because now our boy, Hassan, he went around to a couple of websites giving interviews.
He's actually talking now.
Yeah. So one of the ones, we'll get into it. You know, like I have a kind of conspiracy theory thought about this. So this one's from enemy.com. IGN did one, but we didn't really get anything. But this one, he says something that's like, what? Because it's contradictory. He says that this game is not a horror game.
Okay.
After specifically saying it's a horror game many times, tweeting out, now it's not a horror game. It says it has horror elements.
What is it, a stealth game?
He says it's a first-person survival game. And the other thing from this interview that's the most interesting, he finally at least said it. He goes, no, this is not Silent Hills, nothing to do with Metal Gear. So that's at least confirmed. You know,
okay.
Even though we knew that already, you know.
Yeah, we knew that shit already.
But you know, because people were still like, I want to believe, you know.
Yeah, so. they, you know, it's you know, they started those rumors back, you know, before. Oh, we are no way connected to Hideo Kojima. Why would you even say that? Like so beforehand, was it on Steam? They had said it on one of their things. We are no way connected to Hideo Kojima. Well, I'm like, did anybody ask that you were? It seems like they're just putting that shit out there just so that they could get a little attention.
Yeah, that's right.
But now the biggest mystery is where they're getting their funding from.
Yeah. By the way, I'm glad you say that because Hassan is very upset that people are saying that this is a scam.
Yeah.
Okay, but if it smells like a scam, looks like a scam, I'm calling it a scam. You know, it's like, where are you getting this money from?
Mm. Yeah.
Where is this funding coming from?
Yeah, you know, like, okay, number one, they took a company that has not shipped anything.
Nothing.
Nothing, with the exception of some things that were pulled off the store that didn't do anything or canceled titles. Even in the IGN article, he's saying, oh, yeah, we realized what we were doing wasn't good, and when we canceled it. You guys, just put out something.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they have been able to keep this sort of exclusive deal with Sony for years.
Somehow. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'm glad you mentioned, sorry, Carlos, always you're going to ask, but I'm glad you mentioned the IGN thing because some people are also questioning, because remember, all this kind of came to light from a Reddit post, right? Even though the post had links to every single thing, people were dismissing it. So IGN came out to verify, like, yes, all that shit is true. With that Reddit guy posted, all that was true.
Yep.
You know, so it has been since 2015 that this guy's been pulling this stunt, you know? Anyway, Carlos, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, they even talked about how they had investors that contributed to the game, and he said, "Yeah, well, we told the we gave the investors their money back, and you know, we paid them back for essentially all the costs." And I'm like, "How?
From where?
How the fuck did you just manage to pay? They had a Kickstarter. They had a bunch of people or something. No, it was Steam Greenlight. You know, they had already paid people had already paid. All of a sudden, they somehow managed to pay everybody off.
Mm-hmm.
What? Yeah.
Independently wealthy.
That's what I think. That's one of the theories. Yeah. Apparently, the core team is 10 people, right? He said this before, but apparently now it's been expanded to 50. So how's he paying all these people?
Yeah.
It's like 50 and... with freelancers and stuff like that. So, in other words, situational hires. Usually when game development happens, this is common throughout game development where they'll have their main team and then they'll have a bunch of freelancers or people that they hire in to come in and and do stuff.
Yeah.
Did he explain why he had stock images for employees on their website?
No, nobody asked him about that. It's funny. You know what I mean? It's funny. You know, Colin Moriarty, he kind of called out a lot of sites. Like, he's like, why didn't these guys ask him the really hard questions? Where is he getting this funding from? Why is he using stock images? He was asking this shit. So I'm like, yeah, maybe he should go on Sacred Symbols and fucking, you know, but he's not going to do it. He wants these songs. Apparently, this is kind of annoying. So this website, he apparently told them what the game's about, but he told them not to tell people what the game's about.
Oh boy!
Like, come on, man.
Whatever.
Come on, it's so shady.
Yeah.
Shady.
So yeah, it's like apparently it's some. He goes, at first we said it was going to be an open world game, but with the high quality graphics we have now, we had to sacrifice that. It's not really open world anymore. It's a linear story. All right.
And now it's 8-bit. There you know? Go. And oh, real quick. Battlefield is $60 for PS4 and $70 for PS5.
That's the new price. I'm just reading some of these quotes here. The special thing about a band is that it has a new game mechanic. All right, bro.
Okay.
What was the old game mechanic? God damn.
Exactly. What was the old game? How about that?
Exactly. Right.
It's playable now. That's the mechanic.
Yeah.
In his mind.
Karaman, you know, that's the dude's name. Everything you do in the game has an effect on the player character. If you sprint, I guess the guy's name is Jason. Jason gets out of breath, and that in turn affects his aim. If he's afraid, he'll become nervous, and this will affect how you're able to play. Okay?
It's not the first. We played plenty of games that do that.
The way you explore, the way you receive damage, the way you just play the game is a whole different way. That is achieved by high-end motion capture. We do motion capture ourselves, and we create systems for the game based on animation data.
Where do you do this? Where?
It's got to be a studio, so has to be data on where this is happening. Who are these actors? You know?
How do you go from 10 to 50, and now you got mocap guys? Come on now.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm reading all this shit. I'm like, I don't know. I think, like, this is the conspiracy part. I think he may be duping a lot of these sites, you know, because he knows that these sites are going to give him coverage, right? So he's just going. So that and conspiracy, don't take that, you know, take it with the heaviest name? Grain of salt.
The Borat guy.
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah. What if he's pulling that? What if this is he's filming this and this is him just spreading to see how long he can go, tricking everybody into that he's getting this game and he's collecting this money and doing all stuff. How long can this last?
I don't know, man. I mean, and there's no time frame for the game. Obviously, we saw what happened with the app. Like, these motherfuckers couldn't even get that going. It's crazy.
And then they launched the app and it has literally the same 2-second trailer that they had from the previous thing. So why did you bother?
Yeah,
like, is that the one with the guy taking a poop?
It's the one who's just the guy walking. That's it. There's no guy pooping.
He's taking a poop.
No, he's just walking across the floor. And then
at least he admits that the launch was a disaster. He says that. He goes, "It's been a really big disaster. People are really disappointed." Yeah, no shit, dude. You know.
Yeah.
So
and their follows keep going up. People want to know what they got. But, I mean, again, what they had wasn't fucking impressive at all.
I think this guy's full of it, man.
I still think it's a scam.
Yeah. It's either this guy's independently worthy or some kind of money laundering scheme. Like, we have to make this stuff up because we don't know, man. It's crazy. Yeah.
The biggest question is like, why be so mysterious at this point in time when you're a bunch of nobodies at this point in time? Why are we playing these fucking games? Why aren't you telling people what this is? Every single other independent game developer out there because they know they're new to the industry. They're not playing all coy. Maybe this, maybe that. No, you know what these games are.
Yeah,
I think this could be, you know, I don't know how many of you guys seen the Fire Festival documentary.
Shit.
This gives me a serious Fire Festival vibes. And I think it's just, you know, the way this guy, Hassan, the way he carries himself, it's like he gets on, you know, Twitter videos and sends them and he's talking to people like he actually has a fan base.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand that these people are just fucking looking at an animal at a zoo that they don't know what the hell to make of. Like, they're like, what the hell is this? What are we supposed to make of this? And he carries himself like he has a fan base. and he carries himself like he's a reputable head of a studio, and he has like a reputable studio that's made a game. None of that. I don't know. He doesn't. He feels entitled not to explain more than he already has. You know, mm-hmm. It's like a lot of eyes and a huge spotlight has been placed upon this studio, and they're not transparent in the way, you know. He's had these interviews, but he still doesn't. He still doesn't like mentions like why the hell did you release a fucking application to a trailer? You released a trailer to an application to a trailer.
Yes.
And it's fucking weird. Everything about this is fucking weird. And obviously, the least weird thing about this are the whole fucking Kojima theories. Because you know it's just a fucking people, a bunch of people that are fucking bored out of their minds. Mm-hmm. And are just trying to, you know, they can put two and two together. And they think that fucking, you know, they solved a fucking differential equation of it, you know. So it's you know, that's just the boring part. But the fact that this studio and the head guy is just fucking plain out weird and doesn't really communicate the way that a head of a studio communicates, it's just, you know, it's odd. And I don't think anything, let alone the backlash that the community's going to give to this guy and his studio for not going to be able to deliver what, you know, they think that he's going to deliver. But, it, you know, look at all of this is going to go sideways when the fucking IRS comes and is like, yo, man, what you guys been doing?
Yeah.
Because someone's got to find out what they've been doing.
Does he own any other companies or businesses?
He's a total mystery. And that's why people thought he was, you know, like an AR game, because usually those AR things don't, you know, usually don't have that much development into the people. Like, you know, that Joaquin Mogren guy, right? The fake Kojima character, that guy, he himself was just, nobody knew anything about him. And obviously then, you know, when he shows up with fucking like his head all wrapped up, then you're like, oh, this is
yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so a couple of things I want to read here. So they asked him about that image of the dude with the eye patch, right? And he says, yes, that was a mistake. We shouldn't have done that. We shouldn't have blurred the image, this other shit. And then I'm going to read these last two things, and then, you know, whatever. Team members of Blue Box and also freelancers we work with, they don't feel comfortable to show their face right now. It's not fun being labeled as a scammer. So, yeah, that's the reason why people don't feel comfortable right now showing their faces or even publicly announcing that they're involved with Abandoned. I'm finish this one. I'm really depressed right now. I can't sleep. I can't eat. The biggest thing that's bugging me is that people are labeling us as scammers. That is the big thing that really, really hurts, because that's not my intention at all.
All right. Say you have something and produce nothing.
Yeah.
That's it.
Why do you think people are labeling you scammers, bro? Because of this shit that you're pulling.
You know why he can't sleep and he's sweating? It's because he doesn't fucking have anything to show.
Yeah.
You're right. And that's why he keeps changing all these fucking genres, and he's like, oh, I guess whatever our fucking vision was, our mission statement, it's not going to be that, because we can't make it work, so let's make it into a survival horror game. You know, and it keeps changing, and you know, requirements change on this thing, and they have no solid vision to what this is going to be, and it's like, we have a lot of fucking heads looking at our fucking studio now, and we have nothing to show.
Yeah.
Is he? What's his role? Is he the project lead? What does he say he is?
Yeah, he's the main dude. You know, I don't know what his title is, but he's like the head of the studio. He's the founder.
Because no, he could be the founder and just be like, yeah, all right, I hired all these other people and they're making the game. Yeah. There's got to be at least one person. Can he just have one developer just come out?
He claims nobody wants to because of this craziness that's going on. That's what he says.
Then you know what? Then some people should be able to look this up on LinkedIn or somewhere. There's got to be somebody who is going to list, hey, I work on this game. This is a project I work on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. His well, what he has in his Twitter bio is like founder of Blue Box Game Studios.
Yeah.
Independent game developer based in the Netherlands.
I find it just really odd what he just said about the people upset that they're being called as scams. Like, that only started like last week. Like, what about all the time before that?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, What about all the time when like you were, well, aside you, when they were in the hype saying, or not saying that it's Silent Hill and to not saying that they are Kojima? Like, did no one decide to speak up then? But only now they're being called a scam. They're like, oh, no, we're not a scam. And now we feel really bad. And now we don't want to show our faces. It's like, it all seems so convenient, you know,
yeah,
to me. And it just reeks of, something's definitely going on there. Like, it's very odd. And again, I totally agree with everything that's been said prior. And my final thoughts on this, and again, I really just don't want to talk about it because it's just problems everywhere.
Stupid.
Is yeah. If Abandon gets cancelled, then it confirms that the whole thing has just been a sham. And that's it. If yeah, it doesn't sure. get cancelled and it comes out, then I'll judge it on what it is, not on all this nonsense behind the scenes. Because again, I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of hearing about it. You know, ever since the whole, like, oh, it's Silent Hill thing, it was like, yeah, whatever. Like, I'll wait till it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I really hope that for the sake of the studio and whoever's involved, because I'm sure that it's not just the one person, probably like 10, 15 people or however many he says. I don't believe what he says, but however many people there are working on it, for their sake, I really hope that this thing comes out and it's something okay, at least.
Yeah, so yeah, we'll see. Hopefully you don't have to talk about this bullshit again, but we probably will talk about this again.
It's gonna pop up. They're gonna pop up, and it's gonna be the same. It's gonna be more stuff.
Yeah. All right, man, let's move on. It's been about games we can't stop talking about on this fucking podcast. What's the other one we can't stop talking about?
Cyberpunk.
There you go. More Cyberpunk news, man.
What they do, Ray.
All right, so they had a live stream earlier this week to detail some of the things that are coming, and people were disappointed.
What's coming to it?
All right, so we're gonna get this big patch that's supposed to add, you know, fix like over 100 issues or whatever, and DLC's coming too.
Okay.
It's just a skin for Johnny Mnemonic. That's all it is. You know?
Oh, is that?
That on purpose. I said Johnny Mnemonic on purpose.
No, I was gonna say because there's this whole section of the game that people have sort of squeezed into that has been blocked off, which is like the casino area.
Yeah, no, nothing about the casinos. It's just, hey, skin for Johnny Silverhand.
Okay.
And they claim, yeah, the next gen version will come eventually. So
okay. So in other words, a whole list of disappointments.
Yeah, and then this is the best part. They said that it's really hard fixing a game that's already been released. It's like performing open heart surgery. Here's a crazy idea. If a game is so hard to patch once it's released, how about you don't release it until it's ready? How about
that? You know
what?
You know something interesting? This is actually not related to these guys, to CD Projekt Red, but I did watch a video of from Digital Foundry on Crysis, and they actually sort of talk about the the submission process when it comes to the consoles. So apparently for like Nintendo Wii, right, everything is all manufactured in Japan, and you have like you have to submit your game like 3 months in advance in order for them to do it, right?
Yeah.
And they said for stuff like for PlayStation and for Xbox, they actually have to when they do like, you know, fix it patches, like big patches, they have to actually get them approved by Sony. And that is a process, Sony and Microsoft, and that's a process that takes a while to do.
Yeah.
So apparently, one of the reasons why they've been fixing Crysis, but they've only fixed it enough. You know, where they put only some of the things back into it that were from the PC version that weren't available in the console version. But the reason why they haven't done full on changes to it is because of the submit. There has to, they have to do another submission process, which takes a while.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So who knows what's going on with these guys, with the CD Projekt Red, and how much they have to, you know, all this piecemeal, you know, submission process has to work. But I don't know, man. To be honest, it's like, what are you getting people excited for? Everybody's already angry.
I just find it funny. They said that they're doing this as an attempt to be just more open about what's going on. Maybe you should have been more open beforehand. Mm. You know, again, it's like they're doing all this stuff like at too little, too late. You know what I'm saying? Just real quick, it says here that the game's going to have new jackets, new car, and an alternate look for Johnny Silverhand. So, yeah.
He's going to be Johnny Mnemonic.
Imagine that.
He's going to look like, oh no. You know what they'll do is they'll have a Matrix tie-in. That's what they'll do.
Yeah,
he'll look like the way he does in the new Matrix movie.
So, yeah. Again, I don't know if they're going to do another one of these, but it doesn't – I don't know, man. I don't think there's any saving this game at this point, man.
You saw it was on sale for $10 at Best Buy, and then Amazon maxed it. They're like, oh, we could do that too, $10.
Yeah, this article has right. It's like there's nothing CD Projekt Red could say nowadays that won't get them backlash. People are pissed, you know, rightfully so. So, yeah, not much more to say about that. Just more. That's your weekly dose of cyberpunk news, because it's always something, you know?
Yeah, didn't they have a patch not long ago, actually?
They did.
It was like every other day you see this patch.
But now there's another patch. Yeah. And the next gen.
Last patch was 2 months ago.
Oh, really? I thought it was a couple weeks ago.
I thought they put something
a couple weeks ago.
I thought it was pretty recent. I saw some people going back. Yeah.
No, last patch was 1.23, which was 2 months ago. Get you the exact dates if you want.
Yeah, please.
June 17th.
June 17th.
Juneteenth. No, we were seeing shit just last week. Like,
hold on. No, unless you're talking about patch 1.3. Like again, I'm on GOG. I'm looking at the patch notes or the.
I could have sworn there was one like 2 weeks ago.
Maybe this is for a special console patch.
Was 1.3 released the same day on consoles as on PC?
1.3 came out this week. That one came out this week.
17th.
Yeah.
Again, I'm on the website. Like, latest patches, 1.3. Before that, 1.23.
Because I remember I saw our boy Gene Park talking about this like 2 weeks ago. Let me see if they fixed it. Like, oh, they didn't, you know?
Unless you're talking about
cars 1.3. All over the place.
They were talking about the patches that they were doing were separate from the PC one for the consoles because that was the issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That they were running like booty on the console.
Well, it's not documented on the official website. So
August 10th, there was a patch.
That's the one. I'm pretty sure we talked about it on the show. Yeah. You know, so there. Yeah, so it's like
for PS4 and Series X.
There you go. That's the one.
Say anything about PC?
Yeah. All right, there it is then. Yeah, because I was like, hold on, I'm pretty sure we talked about this shit already. You know?
Yeah, we did talk about it.
That's on Digital Foundry.
Yeah.
It's Digital Foundry.
It's Digital Foundry.
But then which patch do they note in the... Is that the video that came out on that date? Or is that the actual...
This is no video. This is just from their website. Discussions.
Yeah, but what patch number is it?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking.
Because I'm thinking that it must be like a hotfix of some sort. Like maybe patch 1.4, but... But again, it's not listed on the website, which is odd because it lists everything else.
You know what pisses me off?
What's up?
I've been trying to fucking pre-order this fucking Ghost of Tsushima Definitive Director's Edition for the PS5 for the past like 3 fucking months, and I still can't find it. It's the day of, or the day before. Wow,
what the fuck?
It's actually really difficult to find on the PlayStation Store for some odd reason. Like I'm, if you guys saw my tweet like hours ago, I'm like, how confusing is this stupid shit? Because literally you can't go Ghost of Tsushima, like PlayStation 4, right? It won't find the patch or like the patch or whatever you want to call it for the 4 version. The only versions that you see, if you do that search, is you'll find the 2 versions that they have for the 5.
Yeah. By the way, Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut, we may do a review at the end of this show.
Oh! Whoa!
You know?
Where's that ray tracing, though?
Yeah, right? Yeah, no, ray tracing didn't exist in feudal Japan, you know? They didn't have mirrors or metal back then.
They have boxes?
Yeah, they had that, though. All right, man, let's move on. Where are we right now? What did I list here? Oh, we have to talk about Fortnite right now. Oh, these motherfuckers. Okay, so you know how Fortnite basically, ripped off Battle Royale, became a big deal. Now, yes, they're ripping off Among Us with a new add-on called Imposter. Which is,
why I guess, are people surprised by this?
Like, yeah, I'm not. Not at all. Not at all. Brian, go ahead. What are your thoughts on this, bro?
Like, the game that ripped off what was popular at the time is now ripping off what's now popular at the time. Like, why is everyone surprised by it? It's like when a coyote eats kids. It's like, coyotes eat kids. Oh, coyote ate a kid. Like,
well, dingoes too.
A dingo ate a baby.
Yeah, that day. That's from a real story. That really happened. Missing kid.
I don't know. It just feels like games journalism has just gone down the drain. It's like, they have like a fish memory. It's like, oh gosh, this game copied this other game. It's like, yeah, that's what it did. Like, that's how it got popular. You know, it copied PUBG.
That's how a lot of games have done it. I mean, you know, cloning genres and all that stuff. Yeah, they've totally done that stuff.
Yeah, I'm going through my timeline because, Brian, I literally said, like, is anybody surprised that the game that ripped off a big mode is ripping off another one? Like, come on now, you know? Yeah. No, you're right about that, bro. Here's the thing. Chris, you always talk about how, like, a lot of AAA games like Applebee's. This game is the Applebee's, you know?
Oh, yeah. If you want mozzarella sticks on the menu, we got you. That's it. They just add whatever. What are people into? Yeah, it's like, oh, people like Green Hatch chili? Well, now we got that on the menu. They just keep adding it.
We are here to serve you.
I'm just reading this right now. But yeah, it's like, come on, guys. So I wonder what else they're going to rip off. I said, you know what they're going to do next? They're going to do a big AAA cinematic experience, like a PlayStation game. It'll be the next one. Mm-hmm.
Season 11 will be World War II themed. Just wait.
Well, Tony, they won't do that because that actually takes effort.
I like that.
Yeah, no, you're right about that.
I'm with Brian here. It's, you know, that's what these games are. They're just, you know, they're a culmination of just influences and hype trains. I mean, you know, Fortnite is the ultimate example of that. They got the Battle Royale thing, and they ran with it. They did that, and they put Travis Scott. They put, you know, all of these celebrities, Thanos and MCU and Ninja. Like, they see the trends, and they follow them to a T.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do they have Batman yet? They have Batman and Superman. So now they have Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman.
Yep, they got the Trinity. Oh. Yep.
And they not only that, you can literally have them fight Spider-Man.
So Spider-Man and Wolverine.
And Wolverine and the She-Hulk. Everybody's in that game. You know, if you didn't get your skin, you could have Kratos versus Master Chief? Come on, man.
So then they basically ripped off Smash Brothers because everyone's there.
Yes.
Yeah,
pretty much.
The one thing is that they do it like the way they do it is sort of like action figures. So they just have them open for like a limited time. And if you don't get it by then you don't have it.
That's how they get you to jump in.
How they get you to go jump in, right?
Yeah.
By the way, just off topic, apparently people going crazy over the new Black Myth Wukong trailer. Remember that thing?
Did they put out a new one?
Yeah, apparently this game's being developed in Unreal 5.
Yeah, which is actually pretty interesting. Yeah.
Interesting. Yo, by the way, it's funny, Carlos, man. The segue, though, man. Yeah. Although, actually, maybe it's not a segue, but it's a perfect add-on to this. Guess what is going to get Unreal 5 support? Fortnite.
Oh, of course.
Well, it's their engine, right?
Yeah. Ray tracing. Yeah.
This shit is crazy.
Oh gosh, sorry. I just had a weird thing about Abandoned. It's like,
oh no.
Somehow these guys manage to like show us gameplay and game footage of what they're working on, but yet Abandoned shows us nothing but 2 seconds.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Like we've seen more of Black Myth Wukong than we've seen. Seen that game? Or what about the horror game that just got that you can actually play right now? What was that game?
Tormented Souls, I believe.
Tormented Souls. Yeah. They literally gave you like 20 minutes of gameplay.
It was great. By the way, I love the way you guys are weaving all these other stories in here. You know, we're making it all come together tonight. But yeah, it's nuts. By the way, Brian, this was my tweet. I was actually a lot more clever than I remember. Simple but clever. I just said, hey, look, Fortnite's copying ideas again. Like, this is not anything new, you know?
You should have tweeted out, Fortnite is doing something a little sus.
Yeah, I damn, that's a good one. That's a good one. Would have been. Right. I was about to say I should do that shit right now. You know. Oh man, Fortnite, that game. Man, I saw a clip Superman with a fucking machine gun mowing motherfuckers. I'm like, this is just wrong, man.
Yeah, and you can have him shoot Ryu, who also has a machine gun. Yes.
You can't make him throw Hadoukens?
No, he just shoots.
So is it officially is it official that we can call Fortnite the Ready Player One of games?
I guess it's all the member berries just mashed into one thing.
Yeah, that's Applebee's, man. That's what I'm calling. I'm calling it Applebee's. Like whatever it's you want, we got you.
Chili's, Villagin, kind of thing.
Yeah, you know.
I want more.
Good. Damn it! What's the other? The Fridays. That's the other one.
Oh, Fridays. Yeah, TGI Fridays. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
yeah I went to. Yeah. Funny enough, I went to a TGI Fridays when I was in New York.
There you go. Oh, we used to go to those a lot back in the day, man. For whatever reason, because our boy Mikey had his big kick about Applebee's, so we would always just go to Applebee's at TGI Fridays. You know. Mm-hmm.
My change spot was Uno. I love Uno.
Uno was good, man.
I miss Uno.
Pizza place.
Yeah, pizza place. Yeah, man.
Oh,
yeah,
they serve beer and everything there.
Uno's good stuff, man. I probably shouldn't say this as a New Yorker, but I don't hate deep dish. It's not pizza. Don't get me wrong. That shit is not. That's a casserole, but it's fucking good. It's good. You know
the way they did it. Oh, yeah. Remember, it comes in a nice little pan.
It's good. I remember I'm trying to eat that shit, trying to grab it. It's not working. Like, let me just use utensils, you know? no, but it's good. It's good stuff, man. Tastes good, you know? Because I know some people, they're like, fuck, they're going to hate on it, man. New York for life. Obviously, New York for life, you know? But it's like, you can't compare. They're not. That's not a pizza. It's a casserole. You know, so I'm not even comparing it. But it's fucking good, man.
This is not like pizza. You can just take it and fold it and eat it.
Wukong game looking pretty good.
It looks nice.
Looking good.
I'm pretty good.
There's another Chinese developed game which looks like well you guys don't probably know what this is but it's called Storm Riders, but it looks like one of the ideas it looks
Ice
like
Earth?
One of those No. We can't talk about Ice Earth.
Oh yeah,
anymore.
We can't talk about them anymore.
It was essentially what it is. It's like one of those kung fu movies where people can stand on the top of bamboo trees, and that's literally the thing. It's like a semi-open world sort of linear story thing, but it's like one of those kung fu films where they can literally run up walls and on water and shit. Kind of reminds me of that one, the legend of the Kamui or Kai or whatever. The Legend of the Cage. There we go.
Legend of Kage. By the way, Manny, I'm naming this right now. In a few months, somebody on here, probably me, is going to see this and be like, what the fuck is this? And you'll be, yeah, I told you, motherfuckers. You know?
No, the Black Myth game, though.
No, the other one. Yeah, we all know about that fucking game. The Odyssey to the West game, mm-hmm. or Journey to the West, whatever the fuck it's called. Odyssey to the West is the other one, you know.
That's the Ninja Theory game.
Yeah. All right, man. Let's move on. Where are we now? Oh, we got it. I threw this one here for Adam. Even though I got a code, I'll talk about that story later. Quake has been re-released. Nice. Yeah, on consoles and PC. Very interesting. The old Quake. So it's funny, right? So I got hit up by PR. Like, you want a review code? I'm like, yeah, let's go. Got a review code. Toss in his Steam. They're like, you already have this game. I'm like, what? So huh? I go into my library. Sure enough, we talked about this on Sunday. Quake is just sitting there. So I load it up, and then I was like, is this the new game or the old game? But then, like, Bethesda's new logo shows. I'm like, okay, that obviously wasn't there before, you know?
Yeah.
And then it said 2021. I'm like, okay. And then it showed the studio that did the remaster. And then when I went to the options, it said 1080p. I'm like, okay, this is obviously updated, you know? But then I played, like, a couple minutes. I'm like, it looks good, but it still looks like old Quake, you know? So, yeah. Adam, you played more than I did, obviously. So what's your initial impressions of it?
Well, that was the main reason why when they asked what code I wanted, I was like, I'll just give me the PlayStation one because it looks the same.
Yeah.
But that's it. It just looks like people are calling it a remaster, but it's not described as a remaster. It, like you said, when it boots up, it just says Quake.
Yeah.
It doesn't say any of that. They just did some minor improvements just to make it relevant. You know, it's wide. It's got the 1080p. I think they even tried to say 4K for some of it. I don't see that.
I
mean, it's you know, it's just running the geometry at a higher
resolution.
Yeah,
that's it. That's pretty much it. But besides that, yeah, everything looks the same. The gameplay is the same. The mechanics is the same. The sounds are the same. Nine Inch Nails music is in there. They didn't replace it. That was my first concern. I was like, oh, did they get the rights, or is it just removing it? Is that why they had to do this? Did they have did the license expire on the other one, and they had to wipe it? But no, it's still got the Nine Inch Nail tracks in there, the nail gun and all that. So yeah, so it's all right. It's fun. It's Quake. It's the original Quake. For those who never played it, and for the younger audience that don't know anything about it, this is it. This is Quake. This was right after Doom. This is another project they were working on, and it had a little more of a twist with it. You had to find keys to get around to places, hidden doors, teleporting you to different spots and stuff, and of course the cool nail gun. But I don't know. I don't know if the younger audience is going to buy into it, because it does look dated.
Yeah. I mean, I played Quake when it came out.
96? Yeah, 1996. I just graduated from high school.
I still have the disc. I have the original disc, and it has the soundtrack on it.
Yeah. Can we? Yep, the soundtrack. Yep, I have that. That was awesome. It was awesome. I remember, in fact, I was doing my review now, and I mentioned it was like I ran to CompUSA in Midtown. Remember when it was a CompUSA?
Yeah.
That was it. That was my go-to, because I was like, well, I'm going to go and buy this, and grabbing that big-ass box, because everything came in big fucking boxes.
Remember that, PC Games, man?
Yeah, PC Games, a dookie size, big-ass box just for a disc. it was fun. It was fun. But, this is still the same. It's just a little prettier, but it's no different. So that's why I find it funny when everyone's like, oh, they just released a remaster. I'm like, I don't think so.
Yeah. It's not really. It's more like a re-release in general. Yeah. Like, I mean, to be honest, as far as preservation goes, that's actually, you know, that's good. Because, you know, getting a lot of these games to run on, you know, modern machines that you don't need to do all this junk to get them to run, I think that works out. You know?
I think the big addition to it, because I definitely know it wasn't a thing, that was crossplay. There's crossplay here. There's co-op. I don't remember ever playing co-op with anybody. And there's online. And I know played the online, but the co-op, it seems new, and definitely crossplay. So they definitely added some things, but I don't know if that's enough to call it a remaster. Yeah. In my mind, a remaster, just sort of like what when we played Burnout Paradise.
Yeah.
You know, like that, it just looked amazing. It just felt amazing. Everything just really felt spruced up. This didn't really have that, but I mean, it's a classic. But those of our time that remember when it came out, and that was like groundbreaking. What? You got real music? That's a real artist? And he made original music? This original score to this game?
Yeah, that shit was crazy back in the day, you know?
Yeah. You know, because then later after that, what did we get? We got Road Rash that actually had Soundgarden and stuff. I'm like, in a game? This is nuts.
Way of the Warrior, you know, they had
White Way of the Warrior. Yeah, White Zombie. And then, of course, then Tony Hawk and all of them started coming out throwing all kinds of punk and ska.
That was crazy. All right. Quake Remaster. So, Carlos, I see what's going on over there. This is the Black King Wukong, right? Whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I need you guys to see one thing.
All right. Let's watch this. And I'll narrate it for the people listening. Go ahead, man. What the fuck?
There's a big boss. It looks like some Monster Hunter shit.
Yeah, it's a Chinese dragon.
Oh, it's a Kirin mixed with a fucking something.
Yeah.
Look, check this out. By the way,
shout out to Galadier, man. He's rating us with 11 of his heads. Thank you. Oh, shit.
Wait, are you playing this?
No, it's the video.
No, this is the second thing of gameplay that they put out.
Yeah, so for listeners, so the dragon, it's a regular Chinese dragon, you know, looks like a giant, like, snake, right? So the dragon comes at the dude, and then at the last second, the dude, like, parries the bite, you know? Oh, shit, they fell into fucking ice? This is crazy
game
right
over.
Now. I'm going to stop it. Hopefully we don't get copyrighted.
Yeah, you know?
That should look crazy, man.
Yeah, look good. And look good.
I mean, it's impressive. I mean, like, and I think they're, from what I heard, I remember, I think we mentioned this the last time about Black Myth, is that they are formerly Tencent people. They were a studio with them. And they just said, you know, we kind of don't want to make these sorts of games. We want to make the things we want to make. So they've been doing this stuff for a while. So there you go.
Yeah. Good stuff, man. So yeah, what's the name of it? Black Myth, Black King.
Yeah, Black Myth. What is it? Black Myth.
Wukong. Yeah. Yo, by the way, so Manny, you know a little bit about this. So that monkey looking dude, I'm assuming that's the Goku
Goku. Yeah.
Inspired. Yeah. That's the Monkey King, Sun Wukong.
Right. Okay. Yeah, just making sure because I know. Dragon Ball, that shit, they based it off of Chinese.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's, Akira Toriyama was very much inspired by Journey. Well, in Asia, Journey to the West is like, that's like the Lord of the Rings, you know? Like, that's like, it's a hugely famous book. It's huge, by the way, if you ever read
it. It's like their version of the Odyssey, basically, or the Iliad, you know?
Yeah, it's like the Odyssey or the Iliad, but it's a lot more fantasy-based.
Hey, yeah.
And a lot of people, a lot of people say that it also is sort of might be a little bit Buddhist propaganda because it's very, very ingrained into Buddhist philosophy. But to be honest, it's like, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
That's, you know, Dragon Ball. In Japan, Son Wukong is called Son Goku, which is Dragon Ball Z.
Yes.
Yeah.
One funny thing I saw when the first trailer came out, Riku was complaining, right? Because he was like, he's tired of all these, like,
Souls-like games?
No, Journey to the West games. And I'm like, yeah. How many are there? I only know one.
there is actually quite a bit.
Yeah, but this is Riku we're talking about. You know, he would be more immersed
in that. He knows, like, there are quite a bit of Journey to the West games, but there are only... The Journey to the, like, there's one that was based off of a movie. There's a few other ones that were based off of something else, but they're all sort of like, I don't know, they're sort of like easy cash grab sort of games because it's, you know, it's Journey to the West is public domain. Anybody can make anything Journey to the West related. So it's a big old fantasy epic, right? That you can literally just pull from and just create your own things from it.
Yeah. Pretty interesting stuff, man. All right, so there you go. And the last thing we're going to do tonight, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a review for Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut.
Oh!
Which is out now, I believe. Or by the time you guys are listening, hopefully it'll be updated for Carlos. You know, we can't be having that.
Your man can't have that.
Yeah. So as you guys already know, Ghost of Tsushima, my favorite game of 2020. Game was awesome. And this one... is the director's cut that they announced a while back. And the main thing, the main draw here is the expansion. It's called Iki Island. You get this whole new island to explore, a new storyline that's tied into the main one, you know?
Quick question. Did you do their rollover save?
Yeah, what I did was I turned on the main game, which was the PS4 version. It said transfer your save from PS4. So I clicked on that, transferred it, and that was that. Actually, no, I installed the PS5 version, excuse me, and then I transferred it from PS4. The option's right there, you know? Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird how PlayStation doesn't have a universal way of doing it. Some games are different than others, you know?
Apparently, the way Digital Foundry said is that you just go into the PlayStation 5 version, and it says transfer PlayStation 4.
That's it. That's all it is, yeah. It's a very straightforward process.
It's not like the other ones where you have to turn on the old game and then put the new game on, you know?
Yeah, nothing like that. By the way, just like Spider-Man, all those trophies that you got will pop. You know, so I got the platinum again, you know? I got the platinum again.
Quick question before you move on.
Yeah.
Does the Iki Island have a platinum as well?
No, it's just like five or six trophies, no platinum for that. You know,
gotcha. So
you're good to go. And it's still separated, so you only need to get the platinum... I mean, there's only one platinum anyway, but you only have to do the trophies for the main game to get the platinum. You don't have to do it for all the other stuff that's in there. Because it's interesting, like, there's one set of trophies for the main game, then there's two now for the multiplayer, and there's also two for Iki Island. Iki Island is one is, like, the campaign trophy, then the other one's the exploration stuff, because there's a lot of collectibles and all that, you know? And what I found interesting, no spoilers here, obviously, is how... Like, Jin, you know, in the first game, he had a complete character arc, right? he gets another one because there actually is an unresolved thing from the first game. It doesn't impact it in a big way, but it is an unresolved thing, and we actually can see the resolution of it. There's some kind of trippy stuff going on, which I'm not going to mention. And also some new moves. You get some more techniques that you get to unlock. Your horse is able to ram through enemies and kill them, you know, which is always a lot of fun. There's you can pet monkeys now, which is pretty interesting.
You can pet all kinds of animals, actually. You can pet like
cats and dogs. No dogs, but deer. Like because there's a mini game now where you play flutes for animals. The main animals are monkeys, deer, and cats. You know, the mini game is pretty. It's pretty easy. You just gotta tilt the controller around and stuff. Pretty easy stuff. It's great. Like, you know, because I know some people are complaining about the pricing. I'm like, the pricing is worth it enough to me, even though I think I finished it faster than Sony said. I think they said it was like 20 hours. Like, I beat it faster than that. I'm talking about everything, 100%. I'm not 100%. I'm going to say 90% because there's some trophies I don't know how to get. So I got to go online with somebody post them.
I mean, these are the Iki Island trophies. They did add additional trophies for when they did the DLC, you know, where like the new game plus and all that shit.
Yeah, they have those in there too. You know, but I'm talking about the Iki Island stuff specifically. There's these like wind shrines. I'm like, I don't know. And it's funny because me and some of my other, peers, you know, who got the game early too, they're like, yo, how the fuck do we do this? We're all trying to figure it out. We couldn't do it, you know? This was different than Ratchet & Clank. Ratchet & Clank, I think Sony didn't clamp down on that game, so the trophies were just available. This one, I didn't know what the trophies were until today, you know?
Ah, okay.
So I had no idea.
I guess there's plot stuff attached to them. That's what the deal is, right?
And I was also, it's kind of interesting, right? Because I took a picture when I was still in Tsushima Island, and I was like, yo, look at this game right now. I couldn't do it, so I'm guessing I can now, you know? I do want to say this about the graphics, right? I'm not going to say I was disappointed, but I was expecting a little bit more. But the thing is, I don't think they can do more, right? Because before this, the PS4 version already got an update for the PS5, right? You know, 4K 60 frames. So I was like, how can it look better? It looks just as awesome, you know? So yeah, I guess you can't improve on that. So I'm not complaining about graphics. It's just because the graphics look fucking incredible. Don't get me wrong, but it's just that. Don't expect it to be a big blowout bama jamma thing because it already looked really good at 4K 60 as it is, you know.
I mean, the at least from what Digital Foundry says, there's been a lot of texture fixes on there. So this is stuff that I even noticed from the original one, where that, you know, some of the close-ups of like items like his sword and stuff had a little bit of a lower res texture on it. So now, you know, all of those things have higher res textures. And there's a couple. Oh, and also all the cinematics now run in real time. So what they didn't say about this, the reason it also connects to the language option is that a lot of the cinematics within Ghost of Tsushima are actually pre-rendered, and they use the pre-rendered cinematic to hide the fact that you're that it might be loading in the background. So that's, if you notice, the game is pretty seamless. Like, you can pretty much jump from area to area pretty damn quickly. But I'm sure on the 5, it's a lot faster. But what they did is now all the cinematics are all running in real time.
Are they, though? Because every single cinematic I saw, it was all 30 frames a second.
Now, the thing about that is that I think what happened is that there was a little weirdity between the old game and the old game. So, like, if you play on Pro, you may notice that some cinematics are actually running at 60 frames per second and some aren't. So rather than just have it while running at 60, just as a, you know what, let's just put it at 30 and just keep it consistent between them.
Yeah, because I noticed that, like, you know when you're playing the actual game. When you're actually playing the game, it's 60 frames a second locked. But as soon as the cinema start, it's 30, which is... was a little bit weird, you know, but it also made it more cinematic. So whatever, what happened?
That's really frustrating.
Yeah,
like this is one of the reasons why PC guys always hated console games, because again, cutscenes will be pre-rendered at 30 frames per second because console, but then PC guys will have the game running at 60 frames. So it's like, the fuck's this bullshit about? So, yeah, I don't like that. I never have, never will.
Yeah. And it's funny you mention that because, and Riku said this too, it's like now we're kind of in a weird way going back to how it used to be. Back in the day, you know, we would have the game running at 60 frames and then the cinemas would be 30. So, like, so we're going back to that now, you know? Mm-hmm. Kind of weird, you know? But let me ask you some questions. Yeah, guys, ask me questions about the game. How's the load times, says Keyshack? They're good. Here's the thing. The load times were already so insane. Like, they didn't get much better, you know? They're just as good as before. Like, remember, even on PS4 Pro, it was like, whoa, damn, this thing doesn't load. It's crazy. But this one is, so, like, snappy, what is it? You know?
I remember that the initial load was always the first load when you start the game.
Oh, that thing is stupid fast now. Stupid fast.
Okay, yeah, because that one was always the slow one. The original one was the slow one. And then once you're in the game, the things are, you know, it's pretty instant.
Yeah, no, this one is super fast. Like, you're probably in the game, like, as soon as you start it, 10 seconds, you're already there, you know? You're good to go. So, yeah, no, so it's definitely good. Multiplayer, you know, if you like multiplayer, it's back in there. Nothing really much more to say about that. It has all the upgrades that, because the multiplayer was supported pretty well, so they added all the updates and all that stuff. Keith Sack with the questions, man. I love it. I heard the enemies got harder. Any thoughts? Yes, they did get harder, but there's a trick, because there's a new enemy type. He's like a shaman, you know, so if this dude comes around with a spear and he's like, la, 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 so when he does that, all the enemies in the area get buffed, right? So when I first started playing, I was getting fucked up. I'm like, yo, what is, oh my God, how trash should I get? Because usually I lose some skills and I haven't played a game for a while. I'm like, because I was running around the main world, I was doing fine. And then I get to Ikiyala, I'm getting fucked up. But as soon as I was like, okay, let me focus on this dude first. Whenever I go like into battle, like, let me focus on the shaman guy. Sometimes there'll be more than two. I go in there, kill him, everything's fine. So the enemies haven't gotten harder. It's just that shaman makes them harder. There is also another enemy type that switches weapons at, like you do. You know, it was throwing me off, too, because I'm like, OK, this dude's coming at me with a spear. So I go into my spear stance and then he brings out a shield. I'm like, what the fuck? OK, so going into my shield stance. So you got to constantly keep going back and forth. The duels are back, you know, which are always a lot of fun. They call them the Myths of Iki Island, I believe. Legendary Tales, whatever it's called. Really,
oh, just
stuff.
Like the other one. Or yeah. It's like Kodoryoshi.
Yeah, yeah. So they have those. Those are back. Lots of side missions, you know, which is always cool. And it's kind of interesting because the people at Iki Island don't like samurai, so, you know.
Samurai!
About the lip syncing, it's funny because I remember I started playing the original game in Japanese. I'm like, I want that authentic feel, but I had to turn it off because the lip syncing was off. It's throwing me off, you know?
Yeah.
So I turned it on. Like, I'm so used to the English voice. The voice acting is so good. Like, I'm just going to stick with it, you know? What are the questions that I have here? How's the new lock-on? I'm glad you asked me that because I know there's supposed to be a lock-on. I didn't know how to do it, so I just played it like I normally did. So,
well, I mean, yeah. You gotta go. I think it's just like the other thing that the other quality of life change that they did on the game. You actually have to go into the menu and actually turn it on.
Oh, is that what? I didn't go to the menus.
Is that like pressing the thumbstick in? Because that's like screen.
Yeah, the only thing I did in the menu was just like check between performance mode and whatever mode, but I'm like, they both run at 60 frames a second, so it doesn't matter. But lock on, I'm sorry, I can't answer that because I don't know how to work this shit, so I just played it like normal and it was fine.
It's like the one where you put the little bug that comes out. You could set up that initially was an upgrade that they did. So what you have to do is you have to go into the menu and turn it on. Yeah,
there you go.
I don't think it's automatically on.
Okay, that's probably what it is. Any cool armor sets? Yes, there are a lot of armor sets, not only for Jin but for his horse.
Yeah, so, the horse didn't. I don't remember the horse. The horse never had any armor, did it?
You just get different saddles. That's about it. But yeah, the horse gets armor. You get armor. Yes, you do get armor, and some of them are pretty cool. Not gonna spoil anything. They're
just for show or just
no? They
can you use the ram?
Yeah, yeah. The horse, like if you have him fully armored up, like he'll just like because he does eventually take damage. He'll take like a ton of damage, and Jin, he has his one armor set where it disables your normal parry, but your perfect parries kill instantly, you know, which is really cool. So it's like a risk and reward type of thing, because if you fuck that up, then you get hurt extra, you know. But I wouldn't say it's any harder, you know. It's about the same difficulty. Obviously, you could bump up the difficulty if you want. And I think that's pretty much it. The game's dope. Get the shit. It's great. PS4, PS5 doesn't matter. Get it. Iki Island alone is really cool. You know, with difficulty normal, I don't. When I review games and just normal, I don't fuck around with easy or hard. I play it on normal, you know, because my thing is like easy is always too easy, and hard, I'm not trying to brand my head against a wall. And for reviews, people are playing it on normal anyway, you know. And I'll just say this. This is a quick aside. Obviously, I don't judge people who play games on easy, but for me, it defeats the purpose. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want a little bit of something there, you know? But I also don't want to throw it on hard. The only time I play on hard, you can check my trophies, is I'm trying to get a platinum or something, you know? Other than that, I'm like, why am I doing this, you know? So, yeah, if you guys don't have any more questions, that'll be that. So, Ghost of Tsushima, available hopefully now, PlayStation 5, you know? And I saw some people on my timeline actually got PlayStations. So, perfect game to get because there's nothing new up. So, may as well replay this, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to do it for us people. All right. Who has stuff to plug?
The nuke.
Never going to let that go. Adam, you go first, man.
Yeah, I mean, for you Walking Dead heads, remember?
Deadheads.
This is the last season. So, we have another episode of I Am Negan covering Season 11, Episode 1. We posted that. That's already up. That was from last week. For those who also don't know, AMC Plus, you can get things early. They post all the episodes early. So if you want to go watch it now and you don't want to wait till Sunday, then you can go watch it and just check us out. A lot of new subs, so a lot of people really interested, especially now that we're in the last season. So it's cool. So yeah, go check it out. I Am Negan over on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, Coalition. That's where we're at. Cool. Home base. So, yep. Thanks a lot.
Good stuff. Man, do you have any new books to plug?
Not right now. I mean, just hacking away on things and just waiting for stuff to do. I mean, granted, like, last week, a lot of our covers dropped for our DC Comics. So we have a bunch of Aquaman covers and a bunch of Static covers. We had, some Future State Batman stuff. So we had a bunch of stuff sort of just show up all at once, which was really great. Still more to come, you know. Got another one that coming down the line for Batman, which was pretty cool. And then we got a few other ones that we can't really talk about yet. So yeah, there you go.
All right.
Oh, actually, no. Yeah. One of our Marvel covers did just drop, which was for Star Wars. We have I can't remember the name of. I think his name is Bosk, which is the character that Princess Leia is disguised as in Return of the Jedi. So it's like a prequel. It's sort of like a prequel book showing his adventures before Princess Leia literally, you know, slapped him, chopped him on the neck, and then took his clothes. So yeah, it's like him bounty hunting and stuff like that. So we did a special cover for that. So that's actually our first Star Wars cover, which is
nice.
Very interesting. I never thought about that. I just assumed she purchased it from like one of the vendors. I never thought that maybe she could have killed somebody. Really,
she. I mean, in the movie, the way they people knew who she was. They knew who Boss was in the thing. That's why they let him in. So, yeah, she was just disguised as this other bounty hunter. So this is the other adventures of the other bounty hunter book.
By the way, I do have an update.
Uh-oh.
So I guess after midnight Eastern, I only got one option to buy Ghost of Tsushima, and that was a director's cut, and that was $29.99. And I guess it just realized, like, the PlayStation Store realized what I had. So, yep, I was able to buy it, and I am now going to play the director's cut.
Nice.
PS5.
So you had to pay $30.
Yeah.
Was $30. Oh, yeah. Remember earlier this week, they delisted the PS4 version, the standard version. You can't buy it anymore.
No, you can only buy the new one.
Yeah, you could only buy the new one. They've done that. And they remember, I forgot what game it was, but on the show, we were like, yo, what the fuck?
They'll remove the standard version, and they'll only have the deluxe.
Oh, here's another fun thing about it. The Ghost of Tsushima upgrade, you know, for PS4 only has a limited time.
Really?
If you look at it, yes, there's only a limited time that it's going to be on there. It says this update is available from blah 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 to blah blah blah. So officially, if you haven't gone to the new version, I'm sure it's maybe a few years or a year or two. But yeah, it has a limited time frame on it, which is interesting.
Yeah,
but the Call of Duties do that. After like a year or so, it's like, oh, we just want the standard version. Nope, you gotta get deluxe. That's all they got, deluxe.
Yeah. All right, that's gonna do it for us, people. So make sure you follow us on Twitch. Oh, hold on. Whoa, I gotta back up.
Whoa.
I got something to plug too, baby.
What are you plugging?
All right, so I was on the latest episode of Gamertag Radio with Danny Pena talking about some Ghost of Tsushima. And what's interesting about this is Danny had never played Ghost of Tsushima, his first time. So,
really?
Yes, so it was a combination of first impressions / review of the director's cut. So go check that out. We had a really good conversation. Danny and I were always like, yeah, we'll do a half an hour show. So almost an hour of us talking about Ghost of Tsushima.
Come on, man. You're Latinos. An hour? No. A minute, 30 minutes? No. It's going to be an hour. It's always dope.
We always do that. Like, yeah, just half an hour. It'll be fast. Like, we did an episode a couple weeks ago for Streets of Rage. Like, yeah, half an hour long, you know?
Yo, Manny.
What's up?
I'm surprised you didn't know that Danny didn't play Ghost of Tsushima. It's not on Game Pass.
Man. Shout out to Danny, though, man. Also, shout out to Cicero Holmes. I was on his podcast.
Very nice.
Yeah, damn it. Forget the name of his podcast, but it was dope. It's like a fighting game kind of podcast. It was like a debate type of thing. And I said this before. It's like, it was weird because we were debating about like shit we both agree with. Like the main debate was GTA Vice City versus San Andreas. It's like, fuck. It's like, damn.
That's Sophie's choice.
You know? I won that one though by a hair. I picked Vice City. What helped me win was that I said that it was a more concise experience in San Andreas, which is true. You know, what happened?
I'm not feeling too good about these remakes now. They said they're retooling some of the items for modern audiences.
Oh no!
Oh, the stories. Yeah, they're changing some of the
no more dildos then.
I don't know. No more beating whores and getting your money back.
Yeah. Oh man.
No, they
the staple of GTA.
No, they can't do that. They could say they didn't do that to GTA 5. You can still do it. Take that out, you break the game.
Yeah, we'll see. When you hear that term for modern audiences, like, oh, what are we gonna do? You know. All right, man. Now we're really out. So make sure you follow us on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube and join the Discord. You can find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show, and you can visit throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. If you're watching this on YouTube and you enjoyed what you saw, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified whenever our videos go live. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
This is
Adam Vail.
Good weekend, everybody.
And Brian Monjoma.
See you later, people. Stay safe.
Yeah, right. Cash out on OnlyFans now while you can, you know? All right, people. See you on Sunday. Peace out.